Hey everyone, husband here.
And I'm wife. If you've been listening to us, then you know we're all about reading the Bible and reacting to it on our first read-through. Cuss words, crying, laughing, and more.
We're passionate about creating a podcast that takes the sanctity out of the sacred text and simply stating it as we see it.
But we can't do it without your help. We're asking for your support to help us keep this podcast going.
There are two ways you can donate.
Text SACDIS, that's SACDIS, to 533-555 if you're in the U.S. with a one-time donation. Any amount helps.
Or if you'd rather start a sustaining membership, sign up on our Patreon page at patreon.com/sacrilegiousdiscourse. Membership levels start as low as $2 a month.
We are amazed and grateful for our fans that support us now, and you can become one too.
With your support, we can keep Sacrilegious Discourse alive and well for years to come.
So please donate today.
Text SACDIS to 533-555 if you're in the U.S.
Or sign up for our Patreon page at patreon.com/sacrilegiousdiscourse. Welcome to Sacrilegious Discourse.
I'm husband.
And I'm wife.
Together we're reading the Bible for the very first time.
We grew up without religion and wanted to know what all the fuss was about.
Well, what have we learned so far?
That God is a dick. And apparently some people believe in talking donkeys?
We're not trying to pass ourselves off as experts.
Nope, we're just reading the Bible for the first time and giving our first take reaction.
If you'd like to join us in this venture, you might consider starting at episode 1.
Otherwise, jump in wherever you like.
Alright, let's go read the Bible.
Yeah, let's get to it. Husband!
Wife!
Do you remember what happened yesterday and where the hell we are today?
Well, yesterday we read Jeremiah chapter 33.
We did.
And in that, I recall that God was creating a new covenant that wasn't really a new covenant. It was just like the old covenant, but then again. And like he started talking like in old styles, like he's going to bring back the sands on the beach and that's going to be the Israelites. And they're going to be all happy and shit. And we're like, blah, because they say this sometimes, and then I just don't believe it.
Well, I think it's because he keeps saying the same thing over and over and over and over again.
Right.
Like, thus far, everything for 34 chapters could have been summed up in, like, a chapter.
Yeah, pretty much.
In my opinion.
I totally agree. So, I mean, that was the gist of Jeremiah chapter 33.
Okay.
Which means that today we're reading
Jeremiah chapter 34.
All right, let's do this.
Okie dokie.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design, thoughtful construction, and little details that make life in your space easier. And now they're bringing that comfort and style outside with their outdoor collection. Burrow's outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry stain-resistant foam cushions. As always, you get free shipping on every order. Get 15% off at burrow.com/acast. burrow.com/acast.
All right, so we are jumping into Jeremiah chapter 34.
Okay.
The word is bird.
Yeah.
No, it's not. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord when Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and all his army, all the kingdoms of the earth under his dominion, and all the people fought against Jerusalem and all its cities, saying,
that's a lot of people. That wasn't actually truly all the people of the earth and all the kingdoms. It's all the ones they knew, maybe.
It's all the people that the king of Babylon had conquered and made into his army.
It was a lot of fucking people.
Right.
To them.
Well, yeah. I mean, to be fair, it was... He had conquered a lot of nations.
Yeah. No, I got it.
And so, you know, the same thing that the Romans did, where they kind of forced people from various nations into their army. That's sure. what Babylon was doing.
Yeah.
I get it. When they say all the kingdoms of the earth under his dominion, it's the under his dominion part that matters.
Right. I got it.
So anyway, this is what the Lord fucking said.
Okay.
Okay?
Yep.
Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel. The Lord said, thus says the Lord. Go and speak to Zedekiah, king of Judah, and tell him, thus says the Lord. Behold, I will give this city into the hand of the king of Babylon, and he shall burn it with motherfucking fire.
Okay.
Kay?
Didn't he already tell him this? I mean, isn't this already been said to him?
Yeah, multiple times.
Right?
Multiple times. Yeah. And you shall not escape from his hand, but shall surely be taken and delivered into his hand. Your eyes shall see the eyes of the king of Babylon, and he shall speak with you face to face, and you shall go to fucking Babylon. Okay?
Okay. All right.
Yet, hear the word of the Lord, O Zedekiah, king of Judah. Thus says the Lord concerning you, you shall not die by the sword. You shall die in peace, as in the ceremonies of your fathers, the former kings who were before you. So they shall burn incense for you and lament for you, saying, alas, Lord, for I have pronounced the word, says the Lord. Okay, but
I thought we didn't like Zedekiah in a previous chapter or two.
Oh, we don't, but I have some notes about all of this.
Okay.
Okay?
Right, yeah.
So first of all, don't forget that in 2 Kings, Zedekiah tried to flee to the plains of Jericho.
Yeah.
And instead he was captured by the forces of Nebuchadnezzar.
Sure.
And brought to Riblah to have a quote-unquote face-to-face meeting with the Babylonian king.
Okay.
So all of this happened in 2 Kings, okay?
Got it.
2 Kings also records that Zedekiah's sons were killed before his eyes.
Right.
And then his eyes were put out and he was deported to Babylon.
Yeah, that is not peaceful. That is not
Well, he didn't die yet.
Okay,
This was part of his punishment.
Got it.
And again, I have more notes about this.
Sure.
So hang tight.
I'm hanging. Okay? Yeah.
So soon after this prophecy, the Babylonians captured Zedekiah, and per 2 Kings, they killed his sons, blah, 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 put out his eyes, right?
Yeah.
Took him to Babylon. And there is a Jewish tradition that Nebuchadnezzar, upon a festival day, caused Zedekiah to be brought out of prison and abused him mercilessly before the princes, just for funsies.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And out of shame and grief, he died soon after.
Wow. Okay?
But then Nebuchadnezzar caused him to be honorably buried, maybe like, oh, shit, I didn't see that coming. Oops, I guess we went too far. Forcing his former subjects to burn sweet incense and to bewail his death.
Maybe because they didn't like him, that was punishment too?
I don't know. I really don't know. But according to all these different stories, he was actually celebrated upon death. So he did have a peaceful death. He just didn't have a peaceful ride getting there.
Got it.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. So here we go.
It's a little misleading. Just,
it,
you know.
It is. It,
if you don't take into account the other aspects that we have read in the past.
Yes.
Which I wouldn't have picked up on that without the notes.
Exactly.
So.
Me neither.
Yeah.
And another thing to keep in mind that I keep on forgetting is Ezra and Nehemiah, they came after this stuff that we're reading now.
Hmm. Okay.
Yeah. Like, I keep getting confused and I keep forgetting where we are in the whole Babylon came, saw, and kicked its ass.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
Yeah, it's very confusing to me.
It is.
Then Jeremiah the prophet spoke all these words to Zedekiah, king of Judah, in Jerusalem when the king of Babylon's army fought against Jerusalem and all the cities of Judah that were left. Against Lachish and Azekah, for only these fortified cities remained of the cities of Judah.
Okay.
I have some notes about that as well.
Okay.
Okay, so the city of Lachish was 20 to 30 miles southwest of Jerusalem.
Okay.
Okay, and the city of Azekah was 11 miles-ish north-northwest of Lachish and 18 miles-ish southwest of Jerusalem.
Okay.
Okay. Yep. Now, the book of Joshua noted that Lachish was one of the strongest towns of the Amorites in the time of Joshua.
Oh.
So that's why it was like one of the last ones to fall.
Right. It's just a well-fortified city and probably sits well somewhere that's a very...
And Rehoboam, in my notes, it says, and I don't even remember what part of the Bible this was, but I remember his name being mentioned in one of those Kings's or Chronicles.
Sure. Yeah.
Right? Probably Kings, because that's the guys we're talking about, is my guess. Rehoboam had really fortified Lachish. He had built it up. So there's two separate mentions of it besides just now in Jeremiah being a really strong, well-fortified city that lasted. And there's a reason for that. Lachish and Azekah were both close to the Egyptian border.
Oh.
Yeah. So because of the Egyptian threat, Nebuchadnezzar had to secure the strategic points to the south before he was able to complete the conquest of Jerusalem.
Got it.
So those were the last two cities to fall because they were the most fortified. They were the most fortified because of their location and because people prior to Zedekiah had, you know, seen the strategic use of the cities in building them up to protect them against Egypt.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So I thought that was of note.
Sure.
Okay. So now we're getting into a different part, a different section. Okay. So that was that section where we're like, oh, that sucked. And he's coming to get you. And Zedekiah, you're going to die, but not kind of, and whatever.
Right.
Okay.
Okay.
Now we're in a totally different section.
Okay.
This is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord after King Zedekiah had made a covenant with all the people who were at Jerusalem to proclaim liberty to them, that every man should set free his male and female slave, a Hebrew man or woman, that no one should keep a Jewish brother in bondage. Now when all the princes and all the people who had entered into the covenant heard that everyone should set free his male and female slaves, that no one should keep them in bondage anymore, they obeyed him and they let him go.
Right.
But afterward, they changed their minds and made the male and female slaves return whom they had set free and brought them into subjection as male and female slaves. Okay. Therefore, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, that's fucked up. Well, you know, I'll tell you what he said in a minute. But yeah. I have some notes about the back and forth here of, hey, let him go. Okay. Wait, no, never mind. I don't want to listen to you, Zedekiah. Fuck you, Zedekiah. Right. Get over here, slaves.
Yeah. I'm assuming they had it good and they're like, fuck this. I'm going to get them back.
Pretty much, yes. Yes, that is pretty much what happened. It is likely the owners did this because while under siege, they didn't want to be responsible for feeding their slaves. There was no work in the fields for them to do anyways.
Got it.
And they probably would be better soldiers against the Babylonians if they were free. You know?
Right, yeah.
Like, hey, let's let these guys fight for us kind of thing, right? Yeah. But around this time, like right after the owners set them free.
Yeah.
Word came that an Egyptian army was marching to relieve Jerusalem. Because remember, Jerusalem and Babylon were fighting each other over these people, right? The Jews.
So the Jewish people were like, well, fuck it. Egypt's got our back. I'm going to take my slave back, goddammit.
Well, this news caused the Babylonians to lift their siege and temporarily go attack the Egyptians. You know, they needed to regroup and take care of that larger threat, so Babylonian withdrawals, so with the Babylonian threat supposedly gone, there was no more need to radically repent or go without their servants for whatever reason that they let them go, so they forced the newly freed slaves back into servitude.
Got it.
Yeah. Like, what the fuck? That is some fucked up shit,
You know, they talk a lot about like law and the way things are justly this way because of the laws they've created in their world.
Mm-hmm.
This feels like if you let me go, if you set me free, well, fuck you. I'm not coming back. The law says that I was free, so I'm free.
Right.
Right? Like, I mean, obviously they don't have the power to actually hold that, but it feels very not cool.
Here's the argument against that. And I'm not saying that this is true or how much credence I have I'm putting in that, okay? Sure. One of the arguments is that the translations don't always indicate the word slavery as in slave. Sometimes the word, according to some scholars, most likely apologists is my guess,
right,
say that the word is actually a person who sells themselves into slavery.
So an indentured servant.
An indentured servant is what we're talking about here.
Yeah.
In many cases, not in all cases. I would assume anybody who had migrated into their group was not just like a friendly, hey, sure, I will help you if you will help me. Right.
Right.
Also, early on, it was supposed to be this whole 7 year.
Yeah.
And then let him go. Right. Right, and they weren't doing that.
Right.
So that's what God's pissed about. He's like, I fucking told you to fucking let them go. And you did, but only because of this coming war. Right. And then as soon as the war stopped for like 2 seconds, you fuckers went and got these people back into your care. What the hell?
Yeah.
So God's a little uppity pissed.
Okay.
I mean,
he's allowed for slavery in the past, so I don't really.
But again, was it slavery or was it indentured servitude is the question.
I think I recall bits of slavery.
I do as well.
I don't want to like say that without question because I can't recall an exact example at this moment, but I do recall them talking about taking foreign captors and basically putting them into slavery.
Yeah.
And now, even if we don't say like them being slaves is what actually happened, there's definitely times where they took women from other tribes
and
forced them to be married to mm-hmm. Israelites or what have you.
Mm-hmm.
And I would consider that slavery as well.
I would too.
So I don't know. I feel like this is an unfair. If God is pissed off about the slavery, I feel like that's unfair to what he has allowed in the past and even commanded to be done.
I have a few more bits and pieces I can add to this conversation. First of all is the use of the word Hebrew, which we're about to get into. God's going to use that word. And it's one of the few times that it's actually used in the Bible. And what it is taken to mean is not just Jewish people, but Jewish people being held as captives against their will in slavery or servitude.
Okay.
So, that could kind of lend to, oh, I'm not talking about people from other tribes. I'm talking about just you tribesmen holding each other.
Right.
And that seems to be largely
the focus of this portion.
Yes. And what God is saying he's pissed about.
Got it.
He doesn't mind slavery. He minds slavery of his people enslaving themselves to each other.
Got it.
If you're outside of his people, you're subhuman and don't count. Therefore, we don't even call it slavery. We just call it having pets or whatever.
Right.
Because people only count if they are part of the tribe.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
So, and again, I'm not saying that I agree with this at all. I'm just trying to bring a little bit of this is the way they saw it.
Got
to
it.
The conversation.
Okay.
So therefore the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying the word of the Lord came from the Lord, just so that we're clear. Okay. And then the Lord says, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel. He says, right?
Yeah.
I made a covenant with your fathers in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage.
Ago.
I know, right? Like, grudge much or right. petty or like, remember that one time when
I hate how often he brings up is like this favor I did you way back when you can hardly even remember that was even a thing that I did.
Like fucking strings attached too. Like,
yeah.
Jesus, I thought you would just do it because you were nice. It turns out like everything you do is strings attached.
Moreover, like, I mean, there's a lot of historians that have tried to have looked into the whole Exodus thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's,
it never
it's very
happened.
Much thought that it wasn't really a thing that happened. Definitely not in the way that it was pitched in the Bible.
Right.
And moreover, like even like hereditary traits, we covered this a while back, don't lend to the idea that they came from Egypt.
Right.
Like there's just so many indicators that say, no, this never fucking happened.
Right.
And yet it's harped on
by
God all the time as a thing that he's like, don't forget I did this thing.
Because this makes you like owe me.
Right.
That's why it's important to the story.
Right.
Not this great thing that I did. It's this great favor that I granted you that you now have to repay me for, you know, eternity.
Right. And I just feel like Egypt was just this powerful neighbor they had that they always had to worry about and probably fought with a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And so it made for a good story to say, we escaped from them and we've held our own. And, you know, like it just made for a good story.
And it's so cute because it's like, but did you though? Because Egypt and Babylon are like these huge forces battling each other all the time for these little small lands and tribes. And so like, depending on which part of the Bible we're in, you guys are really small compared to these like huge kingdoms that are fighting over the big parts.
Right. But it feels, but also Israel was obviously focused on Israel or on Egypt because it sounds to me like a lot of their most fortified areas were close to
right
Egypt,
up on
right?
the on you the know? Border. Yeah.
So it sounds to me like they were very consumed with dealing with Egypt.
Yeah.
Right? Like that was a very big part of their life, even though Babylon came in and took them over, right?
I feel like Egypt was their frenemies.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like when it was convenient, they got along. When there was a drought, they were like, oh, Egypt, could we have a little bit of water over here, man?
Right.
And Egypt was like, fine. But yeah, for the most part, I feel like Egypt was like, whatever, you little fuck turds.
Right.
And probably Egypt did not care two shits for them until somebody else came and was like, oh, we're just going to take this since you don't want it. And then Egypt was like, hang on a sec. I didn't say I didn't want it. It's my trash can, okay? Like, just because I threw it in my trash can doesn't mean that you could just come into my yard and dig through my goddamn dumpster.
Right.
Like, that's the impression I have.
Sure.
Okay. At the end, this is God talking.
Okay.
At the end of 7 years, let every man set free his Hebrew brother. Okay.
Huh. It's interesting how every once in a while they bring something back.
Yeah.
You know, like from the early
from Deuteronomy
Bible
and Exodus.
Yeah, right.
yeah. Who has been sold to him. And when he has served you 6 years, you shall let him go free from you. But your fathers did not obey me nor incline their ear. Then you recently turned and did what was right in my sight. Yay. Every man proclaiming liberty to his neighbor.
Right.
And you made a covenant before me in the house, which is called by my name.
Did they?
I'm like,
I thought their king just told him to do it.
Right?
And they're like, okay, fine.
Yeah. I thought that Zedekiah was like, hey, guys, Babylonia is about to attack. So set your slaves free so that we have more people to fight.
But maybe he announced it in the temple or something.
God says.
Right. Yeah.
God says, remember that time I was supposed to remind you and I forgot to set an alarm.
In a political sense, it would make sense to invoke their religion or a religion or a god in order to get what you want them to do done, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, that kind of makes sense that maybe that would have been the way they did it.
Sure. Then you turned around and profaned my name, and every one of you brought back his male and female slaves whom he had set at liberty at their pleasure and brought them back into subjection to be your male and female slaves.
Mm.
Therefore, thus says the Lord, you have not obeyed me in proclaiming liberty, every one to his brother and every one to his neighbor. Behold, I proclaim liberty to you, says the Lord, to the sword, to pestilence, and to famine.
Mm.
That's the liberty I'm bringing you. Whoa. And I will deliver you to trouble among all the kingdoms of the earth, right here in River City.
Oh, I knew that was coming.
Trouble.
I knew it was coming.
You cannot tell me the word
trouble
without the music man.
Right.
Yeah. And I will give the men who have transgressed my covenant, who have not performed the words of the covenant which they made before me when they cut the calf in two and passed between the parts of it, the princes of Judah, the princes of Jerusalem, the eunuchs, the priests, and all the people of the land who passed between the parts of the calf.
Why are they passing? Was this a thing?
It was not. I will get there in a second.
Okay, okay.
I will give them into the hand of their enemies and into the hand of those who seek their life. Their dead body shall be for meat for the birds of the heaven and the beasts of the earth. Okay, so here's the thing.
Okay.
First of all, sorry, I lost my place here. The whole cut the calf in half and walked between it thing.
Yeah.
That was apparently a thing that some of the tribes did when a covenant was broken, that you had to walk through the blood of animals that were torn asunder.
Okay.
Specifically for this purpose. And it was like this imagery riddled way of showing that you were a piece of shit that broke a promise.
Okay.
But it's never been mentioned until now.
Right.
And in all of my notes that I could find, it was all apologists saying, yeah, they did this thing. What? And I was okay. Like, no, I'm not going to pretend that we have read that before. We have not, sirs.
Right.
And here's another thing. Like, all of a sudden, we're bringing up the fucking golden calf. And I'm wondering, remember how there were tribes that did use the golden calf as their
symbol for Yahweh, basically.
Their symbol for Yahweh. Yeah. I'm wondering if this is like some of that mess over. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Like, they were so tangled up in all of their different practices with each other.
Right, right.
That I kind of wonder if it's that. But who could fucking know, because it just comes out of nowhere and apologists are just like, yeah, they did that.
Right.
It was common standard practice.
Yeah.
And I'm like, maybe it was and maybe it wasn't. Where'd you get that info?
Right.
Because this is the first I'm reading about it. Maybe we'll read it like in another book of the Bible. But we haven't got there yet.
Sure.
And they weren't quoting it.
Right.
As, you know, per this book and that book and these books and those books.
Yeah.
They're just like, this is a thing. So
yep.
I'm a little annoyed over it personally.
Got it.
Okay. So yeah, I'm going to do this, that, and the other and force them to walk through and do the thing. And I will give Zedekiah, king of Judah, and his princes into the hand of their enemies, into the hand of those who seek their life, and into the hand of the king of Babylon's army, which has gone back from you. Behold, I will command, says the Lord, and cause them to return to this city.
Mm.
You know,
he's going to make them do it.
Yeah. So what happened was Babylon beat Egypt and then came back. And was like, we're done beating them. Now we're coming back for you like we were in the first place.
Right.
They were basically like, I'm coming to kick your ass. Oh, hang on a sec. And then they turn around and, you know, shot the Egyptians. And then we're like, okay, anyway, as I was saying, I'm coming to kick your ass.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And they did.
Yep.
They will fight against it and burn it and take it with. Oh, wait, I said that wrong. They will fight against it and take it and burn it with fire. And I will make the cities of Judah a desolation without inhabitant.
Because
I'm a petty prick.
He really is. He really is.
How do you just, like, decide that you're in charge and you're just going to, like, burn down a whole city?
I mean, that seems to be the MO of God.
It's like, gross.
I'm just going to destroy whatever I feel like destroying this week.
God is gross.
Because I disagree. I think that you should worship me more. I think that you suck.
God is gross. God is bad. He's a piece of shit, and he's not my dad.
That did Amen. Rhyme. That did rhyme.
You know, because everybody's like, dear father.
Yeah, no, I got it.
He's
I
not my
it.
Father.
Right. No. Yeah. Okay. Well, now we got a rhyme in for the day.
Yeah. We did.
And I apologize. I feel like I was a little bit low energy today because I'm kind of tired.
You were.
And I do apologize for that because it's been a long day.
Well, we're recording this as it currently sits. It's almost 2 a.m.
It is.
And I got to get up at 6 and you got to get up at 8.
Yeah.
So that's dedication.
It is dedication.
You're welcome.
Yes. You are fans. You are welcome. Because I'm not even done yet. I got more to do.
I know.
So, all right. Well, that was Jeremiah chapter 34.
Sure as fuck was.
Which means that we'll be back tomorrow with
Jeremiah chapter 35.
All right. We'll see you then.
Bye.
Hey, wife, I guess that's the end?
But husband, that's just sad.
It doesn't have to be. We are on lots of social media platforms like Twitter. Our handle there is sacrilegious_D.
For D's nuts.
Oh my God. Stop doing that. Anyway, we're also on Facebook, Instagram, and Pinterest. There's a link to all of our social media sites at our website.
Ooh, we have a website?
Yeah, it's sacrilegiousdiscourse.com, where you can also find a link to our merch shop.
We have a merch shop?
Yep. We have podcast-themed clothing, mugs, notebooks, and more, as well as an atheist and science-themed products.
Wow, our fans should really go check that out right now.
Definitely. They can get in touch with us by sending an email to sacrilegiousdiscourse@gmail.com. But before they do that, we could really use some help.
Oh yeah? With what?
Well, it's not free running the podcast, and we need some financial support in order to get better equipment, which will free up time so we can concentrate on our podcast and our fans.
Okay, so what should they do?
Head over to patreon.com/sacrilegiousdiscourse and sign up as a contributor on our podcast. Supporters there receive additional bi-weekly episodes that we record just for our Patreon members for as little as $2 a month.
Also, we'd really appreciate it if you would like and subscribe on whatever platform you're using.
And Apple Podcast reviews help us out tremendously.
Like and subscribe. Leave an Apple review. Join us on Twitter. Support us on Patreon. That's a lot of instructions. Don't forget to say thanks.
Thanks.
Okay, bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.